Welcome to another life-changing message from Hungry for God Church. For more information, please visit our website, www.h4gchurch.com.
What you have to realize, that a movement is not contingent upon a man or a woman. A movement needs a man or a woman. But what the movement needs is one people who don't mind being different in assignment with varying capacities. But the movement needs a people who will move when it's time to move. No delaying, no drawing back, no hiding, because God blesses a people who move as one. If you call the name of God, there's only two things that can happen when you move as one. Well, if you call the name of God, only one thing can happen. He'll bless you. If you fight against God, he'll let you move as one until he's about tired. For he knows the influence that you may have. So, when the Tower of Babel was erected, God simply waited. When they got high enough, he said, I must apply my pressure, because they moved as one. But there is also scripture to declare that when the children of God made up their mind to move as one, even the enemies became confounded about who it was that was coming up upon them. See, because what y'all don't realize, and I hope to illuminate tonight, is that the devil that was against you is not the devil that's against your neighbor. However, when you move as one, the enemy becomes confused as to which one of you is coming. Is it the scared you? Is it the punk you? Or is it the mighty you who moves in the righteousness of the boldness of a lion? And God said tonight that as you shifted as one, you sung as one, you moved as one, he has caused many of your enemies to scatter, because they can't tell if it's any demon, they can't tell if it's mine, they can't tell who it is that has risen up. It's just one voice. And I come to declare to somebody tonight that God is moving, and he is anointing you in this micro community to ship you to a macro establishment, because he's put a mega ministry in you. So let me give you an example. The three Hebrew boys, all they determined to do was bow down. Guess what? As one. They said, we would bow only to our king, not to yours, not to your statue. So they said, we will not bow down to you, which means they had another king. One greater king than Nebuchadnezzar. When they got into the fiery furnace, something transpired. The Bible says the servant looks and says, didn't we put three in? One of them now looks like the, and they said there's four now, but one looks like Son of God. Because they made the determination, watch this, to do what they did as one, the one shows up. Say one more time. When you make up your mind to move as one, the only one who needs to be on the scene shows up. He told Moses, who do I say send me? He said, say the I am that I am. There's only one. When you commit your mind to moving as one, God would apply his force and multiply it. Is this all right? I got about 15 more minutes to give you this. Can I give you this? Amen. You may be seated. Stay right there, because I might break off running. And if I run, I just need somebody to run with me. I might take a man with me, because he likes to run. Baby a man. Amen. Watch this. There was a gentleman by the name, first and foremost, we bring greetings from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. I also bring greetings from Love City Church, where love and power is endorsed and increases. Love City makes a noise. please excuse our ignorance. We don't have no behavior. Of course, I bring me to my lovely wife, the only wife. It's my shorty. Praise God. As I was preparing, or being prepared by the Lord, because I really don't know what to say if you don't touch me, I want to just challenge you out of the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, if you can, find it. I may read it out of respect for the house. But I want to give you some things really quickly about the characteristics of a movement. I want to give you some fundamentals. Because you guys started tribal, amen. Love City can boast being the headquarters of sorts to the Hungry for God movement. And one of the things I remembered about the H4G movement is that you guys were tribal. Tribal people I like, because tribal people are committed people. See, when you have an address, and you have heat and AC, when you have places where you can store your stuff and you have keys to turn things, people become comfortable. But tribal people understand if it's time to move. A hungry people recognize that it's necessary to be ready to go at all costs. In our city, so we have had some crazy things happening, and they released created a brand new department in the New York City what is called emergency management. What they have done is they have deputized some people, hear me, going somewhere, who will train us how to prepare ourselves just in case we need to run. See, because there's something about when people get comfortable that allows them to say, I'm fine where I am. See, 185, we may have our little issues and stuff, but I'm cool with 185. I know how to get here. I know how to get the train, the bus. Some of us, it's walking distance. Right, we're in East Flatbush, so therefore I know I'm going to get some curry look. Jerk chicken at some point, anywhere up and down Ramsey, I'm safe. However, safe does not mean that you are saved. You've got to be willing to move from the safe place to go to a saved place. And I'm not talking about salvation only. I'm talking about where the provision of the Lord is. The provision of the Lord means you are saved. He says, the righteous run in, and they are, it does not say safe. And I want to challenge you, Hungry for God, in this next year of life, you've got to recognize that God is not trying to bring you to a safe place. This is going to be scary. It's going to be a bumpy ride. This is not the time for you to find your favorite person to whom you can gossip. This is the time for you to get on your knees and go to war over this house. Especially when you don't see as many people doing what your pastor is desiring to do. Because it's easy to criticize what you're unfamiliar with. It's easy to get on the bandwagon and say, well, we didn't do this and our church has been around for 100 years. But how many souls and lives have been shifted in the last 100? So God is saying, I want you to become unsafe. And unsafe people are tribal people. This is why you see in the olden times that tribes actually moved around to where the food was, or when they knew that certain animals were coming. So when they knew that the lions were running, the pride were moving through the desert of the safari, what they would do is, it's time for the lions to come, let's run. They would move their tents, they would move their huts, they would along. The only thing, hear what I'm about to tell you, the only thing that these tribes made sure that did not change was they held on to whatever possessed fire. Say it again. They never let the fire go out. Because if the fire went out, there goes light, there goes heat. So tribal people will hold on to one thing. Take my house, take my car, take the building, but don't take my fire. Y'all will catch that tomorrow. So what, there was one person who was committed to do, watch this. There was one person who was committed to keep the flame. And the keeper of the flame was not bothered with the foolishness of the tribe. This is why it's important to realize and celebrate those who stood up here with these certificates of appreciation, because those are the ones who keep the keeper of the flame. In this year, leave your pastor alone to be the Nehemiah of your house. Let him hold on to the flame. Who was Nehemiah? For the sake of time, Nehemiah was what we would call a marketplace leader who had a ministry call. Nehemiah was a Jewish man who had been moved to another land, and he was trained in the king's protocol. And because he was trained in the king's protocol, the king trusted him enough to keep his life. However, when ministry called, the charge came up in him and he said, I got to go do what I have to do. See, what Hungry for God is about to witness, or has been witnessing, even through the Summer of Love series, is God has been giving you access to marketplace people on purpose. Because he has been shifting your mind to a place called unsafe, so that you can go where he was going to cause the keeper of the flame to go. So he brought in marketplace leaders so y'all can get a clue as to where he was about to shift your pastor. Come on. Come on. So what Nehemiah did, Nehemiah said, I am going to call my friends who can help me in my transition from marketplace to ministry. The beautiful thing about Nehemiah was that Nehemiah did not spend time trying to be what he was not. Let me help you. I don't care how good you are on whatever it is you do, you are not a 10 in everything. Let me help you. Let me set you free. Set you free. You're not a 10 in everything. You may be close, but you're not. And what God would do is on purpose put somebody who's better than you in your vicinity to either frustrate you or facilitate you. If you're nasty, you're going to get frustrated. If you're humble, you'll be facilitated. So what God is, he is taking your pastor to a place where he's shifting him now to comprehend what it is he was in the mind of God for this movement and for this tribe long before you had a place. So this is why y'all have been jumping around for the last 5 years from location to location, not because you were disconnected from God, but because you actually were connected to God. He wanted you to get used to packing up and going. Nehemiah had to pack up his things and leave. In my last few moments, I want to share this with you. When he got to where he got to, he got with some people and he shared with them, this is my assignment. You know, Nehemiah was a project manager. He was not a builder. He was not a mason. He was not a contractor. He was not a chef. He made up in his mind, whatever it is that I've been called to do, that's what I'm going to do. I want to help somebody really quickly. If you want to find your place and purpose in the house of the Lord, make up in your mind that you're going to do what you know how to do well. And God will allow your leadership to place you in your purpose. Don't fight for nobody's seat. Because I'm telling you, hemorrhoids are contagious when you don't know how to sit in your seat. Paige, the lady in the back is like, ooh. I'm going to give it to you 100. That's the truth. When you don't know how to sit in your seat, you all of a sudden feel uncomfortable, almost in pain, when you're sitting in the wrong place. Take that for free. What happens is a movement is marked by three things. A story. We heard that. Right? A movement is connected with a leader who is connected to people. It's possible to have a leader and not have a people. Amen? And it's possible to have a people and not have a leader. Amen? So you need a second component of a movement is you need a leader who connects to people. I would assume that you have number one. We heard that. And if you would agree with me, hungry for God, you have number two, a leader who connects to the people. Amen. Give God praise for your leader. 5 years. And then the third component of a movement, Ryan, is you need an opportunity to serve. This is why the Summer of Love was so instrumental to this church. Because you got out there and for this whole time you had an opportunity not just to hear from marketplace leaders, but leave the place of the monument and go out to the marketplace. When you went out to the marketplace, you witnessed things and some of your hearts were stirred as to what we can do. That was important because what it did is it stirred up the movement in your heart. You should never have more concern about your movement in theory than you have in your heart. You can't be more concerned about your church on paper than it is in your heart. Because if you are more concerned about your church on paper, you can quit when you see another church on paper. You can be bought and sold. So God now shifts some people, and he allowed now Nehemiah to tell the story. He heard the story. He went to a place connected to the people, and he began to serve. The Bible says, and they did the work quickly because they had a mind to do the work. And watch this. The people who did not know how to war knew how to work. And the people who did not know how to work, they knew how to war. And Nehemiah had a strategy. He said, if I can teach the people who know how to work to war, we'll never lose. This is why your worship nights are so important. This is why your God studies are so important. Because what your leader is doing is training you not just to work, but to war. So if you don't come to your Bible study, but you want to show up for the birthday party, shame, 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 shame on you. And the church said, amen. The church said, ouch. Amen. So there are three dimensions to what God is doing with your movement. Hear me quickly. One is the micro level. Each and every one of you are the micro level. You are your own personal, you have your own personal grace. Five being the number of grace. You walk into a year where God will expose your graces, not just as the house, but as individuals. What happens is your personal graces help to make up the components or have the components to the corporate grace. Your personal grace helps to build up the component of the corporate grace. I'll say it one more time. Your personal grace helps to create the components of the corporate grace. If you are sitting on your personal grace, you will be frustrated because the corporate grace can't integrate you. So if you know how to cook, and you get mad that they serve cheese sandwiches at every event, don't be mad. Because your personal grace has limited the corporate grace. Does that make sense in English? So this is why it's necessary. I'm giving it to you for the rest of the year. This is why it's necessary to spend time on your micro level. So God can bless your macro level. Micro being small, macro being larger scale. If you let God bless you in your personal level, also by praying, by studying, by seeking God, by having private worship, by practicing your skill and your craft, then what happens is when you come together, the weight of God now sits and multiplies the force of who you are upon the entire house, and the entire house has no choice but to move as see, unity is the atomic power of victory. I'm going to say it slow so you can write it down. Hashtag H4GV. Unity is the atomic power of victory. Say it one more time. Unity is the atomic power. Right? I did a little thing, a little study on the power of the atom. And the atom, watch this, is full of particles. And when a scientist figured out how powerful the atom was, the United States of America had paid them to figure out how to use the power of the atom, the system of the atom, to become a weapon. Hear what I'm saying? When the United States of America learned the power of the atom, one single atom, they paid scientists to multiply it so that they can use it as a weapon. Say one more time, real slow. When the country found out how powerful an atom was, they paid to multiply an atom and make it a weapon. In World War II, it was called the atom bomb. There are two types of atom bombs, y'all. One is more powerful than the other. One atom bomb, what it does, it separates its particles. That's called fission. But then there's another atom bomb called fusion. And what the scientists realize is if I can take all those same particles and rather than shooting it in opposite directions, bring it together and fuse it as they can do greater damage. This is why I say unity is the atomic power of watch this. The atomic power is the ability to take what could be and force it into one location. I'm going to help you really quickly. What God did in the book of Acts was he forced multiple particles, different people from 13 nations, set them up 120 in a room, and he sent one spirit and gave them a tongue, hallelujah, that allowed them to not just go in other directions, but empower them in one location. And when they hit that one location, it was atomic power from heaven, and the earth has not been the same since. I came to talk to a church that is ready to move as the atomic power. Unity is the atomic power of victory. When we commit to moving as one, we release that atomic power. When you go from, watch this, micro to macro, the only other thing that's left, BK, is megas. The book of Acts, the 4th chapter, the 33rd verse, the Bible says that the people came together and there was a greater grace that rested on the apostles. That word great grace or greater grace is translated from a word called megas, or where you get the word mega. What God is about to do for you, Hungry for God Church, is shift you to a place called mega. This is why your leaders are getting frustrated with y'all being comfortable with how stuff looked for the last 2 years. And they're sitting down and they're having meetings. And how many more meetings are we going to have till you get it? How many more meetings? How long is it going to take for you to figure it out? And poor Ryan is buying people CDs and stuff and looking at books and looking at websites and trying to figure out how we can make it work. And poor, he's trying to figure out how to work it. It's because the people, some of the people are still thinking micro. When God is trying to shift you to megas. See, when megas hits you, you're not okay with showing up to prayer late. When megas hits you, you don't show up to rehearsal without warming your voice up first. When megas hits you, You are going to take time to find out what they need you to do before they ask you to do it. That's what Megos does. And when great hits great, you can't help but become mega. I'm going to say it again. When great hits great, you can't help but become mega. And I'm not talking about mega because what y'all think is mega is large churches with thousands of seats, and while God may move thousands through these doors, small is a new big. So it may not look like what you think it is, but if you trust God, God will make you bigger, and he'll make your name great in the earth. The Bible says that. So I'm going to charge you this tonight for the next year. Where's your commitment? Is it to micro? Is it to macro? Where only your crew is the ones that do well in the church? Or is it to mega? I declare to you that God is telling you, not asking you, that the grace upon you is to shift you to mega. Megas. A greater level of grace is coming on you. If you want your pastor to preach better, don't talk about him. Pray for him. Why? Because God is a force multiplier. Watch this. Everything that God puts his hand on multiplies innumerably. So if you include God in your complaints, you can't complain no more. Let me say that one again. It's hard to complain when you're asking God to fix it. Like, it's hard to be mad at people that you prayed for a miracle for. Like, Lord, set them free from cancer. Then they get free from cancer. Dad, God, how dare you? No, you celebrate with them. Because you use your grace to multiply the force of whatever somebody else was desiring. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand, that God is trying to multiply the force of this house. He's trying to multiply the women in this house. He's trying to multiply the youth in this house. He's trying to multiply the men of this ministry. He is multiplying the preachers on a level that you cannot even imagine. These two young men were playing around and dropping more nuggets than the stuff y'all sit at home and watch on TV. They were playing around up here, and they deserve a better offering than some folks that I've seen. You know why? Because what they've done is they've attached themselves to the grace that's on the house, and it's multiplied the force of what they have. Does that make sense? So my challenge to you for the next year is this. Get your mind out of monument mode. Get your mind out of monument mode and prepare to become a movement. If we got to pack stuff up, don't get frustrated when they show up and when you come in and you show up and the other church is in the building. We do this. For I even see what God is about to do. He's going to give you connections with people who will allow you to not have to be here. Before you would have to argue with the other people. Now I see what God is going to do is he's going to allow you to connect to a few people who will allow you, if you call them and say, yo, we got a problem, they'll answer and say, sure, come on over. Because what he's doing is he wants to get you acclimated to the move. The hour is coming, Hungry for God Church, where he is breaking your comfort level. If God really wanted to, he would blow this building apart with people who would show up to your service. And if you were ready, he would have done it already. But God is saying his hands until we can get ready to get past micro. The Tuesday nights are awesome. The worship nights are great. But that's only macro. There's a place called Megas for you. Mega for you. And the way God is going to do it is he's going to allow some of you to shift out of church mode and go into the marketplace. What you guys don't even know, let me just share something with you. I didn't even know about the sanctuary. My wife and I spent an hour last week sitting with a gentleman who is the CEO of a brand new juice bar who just opened up on Wall Street. And what he said, I read up on him, and Forbes is now saying that they're on pace to be the Starbucks of juice bars. He was talking to me about church planting and management. Guess who just got to connect to the CEO of Joe and the Juice? You did. Because who I know, you know. But if you stay sitting in church, I'm like, Joe and the Juice, what's that? I did the research. I said, each store is turning over. They don't even check in that where they're from. They don't check in dollars. They check in pounds. And each store every year is yielding over $1.5 million in pounds. I think they have 80 worldwide. And the gentleman is like, we need to sit down and talk. Because I want to know more about, he said, can I trust the authenticity of Scripture? And I said, sure, let's sit and talk about it. And I had no clue. I just was like, let me talk to this guy because I'm connected to a millionaire. Not knowing that if because I'm willing to come out of my micro place, God has a mega plan in the works. So now all I have to do now is figure out if I can set up a meeting so that y'all can sit down and talk. I'll just get something to drink. And then steal the rest. No, I'm joking. But do you guys understand how God works? Did I tell you about the thing on Friday night? I knew nothing about the juice bar. I was telling Vito about it on Friday night. So I just ran into a millionaire while I was praying for a princess. Like a real life princess. Who knows? But when you commit to the mega plan of God, He will move you if you're willing to be moved. Do you think I'm the only one who connects to people with authority and power? Absolutely not. I told you who I know. But you've got to be willing to move. So here's my charge to you, Hungry for God Church. Stop thinking micro. If you can't get to mega, think macro, big. Imagine, Sister Ingrid, if 100 more people showed up on a Sunday morning, would you be ready? Would you be ready? Amen. You know why? Because those are good problems to have. Ain't that right? I know your pastor won't be mad if 100 people just show up on Sunday out of nowhere. I know the finance team will not be mad at that. But those are good problems. Having to figure out how to deal with extra people is good problems. Trying to figure out what to do with new souls and how you're going to baptize them and not have a baptism pool are good problems. Take your mouth off of those. And the ones that are not good problems, do what you can do to fix them. For this is the year of grace. Amen. This time I just want to pronounce a blessing on you. I'm going to pronounce a blessing on you. As a matter of fact, I just want you to make this declaration with me. Just make this declaration with me. You don't have to rise. It's very simple. You ready? All right, say this with me. Our past is subject to our future. And our future is now. Our now is subject to our purpose. And our purpose is subject to His plan. Our community creates our currency. And our presence adds value to the kingdom. We make the kingdom rich. Come on, if you believe it, give God a hand of praise. Let's receive your pastor as he comes. Come on, bless the Lord for your pastor. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13. I'm counting so everybody can get up. How about that? How about that? Listen, really quickly, while you're standing, you don't understand how important it is for you to give honor to your leader. I say this now because I have a brand new perspective. You heard me say that they called me to bless a princess, her Royal Highness, the Princess Mary of Denmark last Sunday. Bless the Prime Minister, and I bless the delegates that came. What I saw was nothing. Y'all can keep y'all caps and robes in the church. They had a small delegation that came, and every time they thought the princess was coming, they lined us up. Am I correct? As soon as they thought she was coming, it was just like some reporter that got out of the car, and everybody was like, oh man, that ain't the princess. But in hopes that if it was their leader, they stood in alignment, hoping that it was their leader. And I say that to say this. When you learn to honor right, you can't help but be brought into the presence of honorable people. When you learn to honor right, you can't help but to be brought into the presence of honorable people. This man may not be your pastor, but because he is a pastor of the household of faith and in the body of Christ, honor him and honor him well. Why? Because there's an hour that will come where the honor will not be his, but it will be yours. And you will learn the hard way what it is like to be dishonored. So even in our house, whenever I go out anywhere and the leader stands, I call our people to stand first. Why? Because if I expect to be honored, then I expect my people to honor anyone that I honor. Does that make sense? Say it one more time. Let's bless the Lord for your leader. For the Bible declares, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Receive, Pastor Burnell, J.R. Tamiel. Wow. Give Melvern, Pastor Melvern Samuel, a big round of applause. Wow.
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.